Welcome to the Coffee and Questions podcast. I am your host, Michelle Berman-Michael, and my mission with this podcast is simple: to help realtors and loan officers across the world tap into the value Instagram can have for them and their business. To me, organic business that comes to us is the name of the game. On this show, you're going to hear from myself, other experts across social media, and also others that are just like you, selling real estate and doing loans and doing it at a high level on social media. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Coffee and Questions podcast. I am your host, Michelle Berman-Michael. You guys know me, nothing new there, but I am really excited to interview a new friend. And I think someone who we're going to be able to do a lot together. So we're excited to kick this off. But my new friend, Luke Ukri, he and I are joined together to really dig into not just the tactical side of Instagram, but also kind of the give us your best Tony Robbins side of Instagram, I think is what we talked about offline. And I love that. But Luke, welcome to the show.
I'm excited to be here, Michelle.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it. I think we have a really unique way that we want to share, or unique opportunity of what we can share with the audience. And so I'm really looking forward to it. But you are the president of Reminder Media. For those people who do not know Luke, please go look him up. Amazing organization and someone I'm really grateful to know. But Luke, will you tell us a little bit about what your company is? What do you do? How did you get into working with the real estate community? And just give us some background.
Sure. So I'll try to give you guys the quick synopsis. So Reminder Media is a marketing company. Marketing is super broad. Our niche is really what I call relationship marketing. And quite frankly, it's just every business owner knows you have to keep in touch with your database, your list of relationships. And so what we set out to do in the beginning of our company is, how do we develop the very best touch points that you can send on autopilot to your database that not only get you known, like, and trusted, but more importantly, give you a reason to call, give you a reason to connect. And our flagship product was a customizable magazine. So still is our number one product today. We literally think white labeling a magazine. So if you're an agent, we can create you your own Better Homes and Garden that you can send to your clients. It's you. It's not filled with a ton of other ads or anything like that. It's just great content. It features you and your brand. That then translated us to digital. So we have a digital magazine that we're content generators. So we have a library of content that people can now use to schedule out on their social. That then people want it to send through email. So now we do email templates as well, like email newsletters. So all that to say, over the last decade, I've been able to work with about 136,000 real estate agents, have about 340 team members here at Reminder Media. And it's been quite an amazing ride.
Yeah, I would say that's quite a ride, no doubt. And honestly, I love the way that you built the blocks off of one another, right? And kind of listen to your people. And I think that that's a really good segue into what I really want to dig our teeth into as far as Instagram is concerned, because I think back in 2014, when I got into the Instagram space, Instagram was a lot different than it is today, right? Like, our focus for what we produce for Instagram back then wasn't really for our people the way that it is or has to be today. So there's been so much transition. But what do you see on the social platform as it relates to what you just described of, we were doing this, our clients really wanted this, so we then pivoted and did that and kind of built your stack, if you will.
Yeah. So, I mean, this one might be basic, but it really is the core to anything in life. Everything great takes persistence and consistency. And we can say it till we're blue in the face, saying it doesn't matter. It's all about actually doing it. What we saw the pain point for our clients, and you probably see this pain point with agents all the time. They start a Facebook page, start an Instagram page, and they don't post consistently. And when you don't post consistently, there's this thing in psychology that basically, consumers, when they see activity, they translate that to productivity. So people think you're productive if you're active. That's not actually always true, but the truth is that's what they think. And so when you have a Facebook page, but you haven't posted in 3 weeks, or if you have an Instagram and your Instagram isn't done very well, or if it's, I don't even mean exactly quality of post, I just mean consistency of posting, people subconsciously translate that to how well you're going to do for them. Because in psychology, buyers want to look or buy from people they look up to, not people they look at, meaning they feel they know as much as, or people they look down upon, like, oh, I know more about this than you do. They want to buy from someone that they feel, wow, this person's a subject matter expert. They have expertise that I don't have. Not the end all be all, but one way to showcase that is through how you present your brand. You have a brand, whether you think so or not. So how are you consistently showcasing it to the marketplace and controlling the narrative of your brand? And so I just see fundamentally, hey, if you're a real estate agent right now, you got to be on Instagram and you got to be posting consistently. And so most people just don't know what to post. And that's really where we tried to step in and go, hey, well, we're not going to be everything to you, but we'll give you a library of content that you can pull out of. But if you just do our curated content, you won't get anywhere either. You need both content that you actually enjoy and care about, and you think your clients will or your followers, but you also need the personal stuff and intermix those. And so that's really what we've seen with Instagram. And I can go into details based upon what avenue you want to go, but that's kind of high level.
Well, I think perception is reality, and that's the unfortunate side effect of social and on one side, right? And on the positive side is the better you do at it, the better you can see on the result side of things, or the more results you'll see on that side, right? So people, to your point, like if they perceive that you're productive because you're posting consistently, then you now have their mind share, right? AKA their right. attention. And I think that part of our goal on social, specifically Instagram, and for the sake of our conversation, is we have an opportunity to stand out, but most people don't. And the reason most people don't is two things. One, to your point, the curated content, right? So they're utilizing curated content type platforms or programs, and they're like, okay, I did it, I'm done. And then they don't do anything else. So it's not working, quote unquote. And then they come back to us as the content creators or the people helping them create content. And they're like, hey, Michelle, or hey, Luke, Instagram's not working for me. I don't know why I'm doing this. Right. Well, of course it's not working for you because you're not taking the action on it, but that's a different conversation. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's I always remember the phrase social media. So social media was created to do what? Not just produce media, but to be social. Yep. So if you really want to just up your game, practically speaking, today on social, every time you get on and you post, or every time you get on to lurk on other people and not post, comment, engage, write something sincere. It is just amazing. We're doing this more and more, even through our socials now. And I'm just reminded and almost embarrassed of how little we were doing it at the level of going, man, it's almost worth not spending the 30 minutes to create the reel and just spending the 30 minutes to go DM people, to go comment on people's post, because that is what will trigger the algorithm to cause engagement for you with those people. And so it's like, never forget that social media ultimately was created to be social. So if you find yourself not being social and just doing the media part, that's why it's not working for you.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, you and I talked about this when we first met, that active prospecting is the key to the Instagram platform really actually working. And it's why I'm sitting here today without question. I mean, creating a differentiator in your business is so important. And I think that that's what we're talking about all in all, right? Is yes, there are a lot of real estate agents that are using Instagram, and I don't know the exact statistic, something like 56% of agents say that they do use Instagram, or they are trying to use Instagram. But the math that I saw, and don't quote me on it, was something like 40 something percent of that 56% say that they actually feel like they know what they're doing. So we're talking about a quarter of the population on that is even understanding or has any concept of what they should be doing on the Instagram space or on the platform. And what ultimately I find happens, and I'm curious your thought on it, especially from a marketing perspective, is a real estate agent will say, oh, well, this person's doing that and it looks like it's really working, so I'm going to R&D it, right? Or rip off and duplicate it. But the problem then becomes, how are you any different from them? And that's where, in my opinion, your differentiator is your personal content. And it's also how you show up when you prospect, right? Am I in your DMs? Am I having conversations with the people that are consuming my content and giving me their time, right? Because how many followers do we have, right? Even, I don't care if you have 100 or if you have 100,000, if you're not connecting with those people and you're not talking to those people, and I don't mean sending them a message saying, hey, Luke, thanks so much for following me, right? That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is starting a conversation genuinely and authentically with them, because if you're not doing that, they will leave. They will go give their attention to someone else, right? Well, so I just feel like we have an obligation there to produce content and then, to your point, actually show up for the people that are giving us their mindshare.
Well said. Well said. And, you know, it's everybody knows you got to get people to know, like, and trust you, and you'll run out of content creation. If you're trying to be other people, you'll never run out of yourself. Meaning, like, you, if you just almost, it's Gary V's document, not create. If you focus in on going, hey, who am I? What are my, you know, maybe you call them value pillars. What are the things that I want to express to the marketplace? So for myself, right, I'm into fitness. So that's a value pillar for me. I'm into faith. So my dad's a pastor. I grew up in church. I'm a believer. And so posting about my faith, I'm into my business, right, is another value pillar of mine. I'm into real estate investing. So all those are four value or content pillars, I should call them. And then I have my value pillars of how I want to express those to the marketplace. So maybe I go, okay, this is who I am. So how do I want to express this? Well, I'm naturally a high energy guy. I'm more of a motivation type guy. So I want to express this type of content through motivation. That's one of the ways I would express it in my content. I'm not really a comedian. I wish I could, but maybe you are funny. So you, like Matt Leonetti, if you follow Matt Leonetti on social, like, he's hilarious, right? Or the Broke Agent, right? That's their value pillar of how they express their content. So what I always encourage people to do is sit down and write out, what are your, you know, content pillars? And that literally is just going, who are you? What are you into? What are you passionate about? And then write down your value pillars of how you want to express those to the marketplace. Do you want to be educational? Do you want to be entertaining? Do you want to be motivational? Do you want to be aspirational? Do you want to be inspirational? And that will help you, I think, realize, okay, if I'm posting, I'm going to post about my fitness. I'm going to post about my faith. I'm going to post about, you know, my family. I'm going to post about my business. And I'm just going to keep that in the people who are, like my vibe, they're going to be attracted to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think also if you have those personal pillars that we're talking about of like what makes us actually human beings and outside of our work every day, like what do we do, right? Who are we? I almost cut you off to say, are we twins? Because if you guys are watching this visually, like Luke and I actually are matching right now.
Yeah, we must be related. I don't know.
Yeah. And then the first three things you're like, I'm into fitness, I'm into faith, and I'm into my business. I'm like, okay, twins for sure. Everybody that knows me knows that those three things are all number one. We'll say all three things are number one, but that's impossible. I get it. But the point is that all three of those things are huge parts of my life too. So I love that. But
it builds commonality, right? And rapport is built ultimately, I shouldn't say ultimately, but a foundational principle of rapport building is common ground.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you and I are people of faith, the fact that you and I love business, we're naturally interested now more and connected more. And it could be the same as like, maybe you have dogs. You're going to connect with other dog owners. We all know this to be true, but your other dog owners in your client base right now won't know that about you if you don't showcase that you have a dog. And so, and this applies to not just social, it applies to all your marketing. Don't be afraid to express who you are, because you will build commonality with other people that are like you. And people want to do business that they with people they like, but that they are like. So that's a key thing to understand. It's like they want to like you as a person, but they actually want, they do business with people that are like them, because it makes them feel comfortable. And people, comfort is a necessary requirement for trust.
So many good quotes out of this already. Like, we could just probably stop and be good, but we're going to keep going because it's too good to stop. But the thing I will say, and I want to piggyback off of your comment there and say, when I talk about the like, know, and trust triangle, I add one layer to this, and I know you'll resonate with this. So I'm excited to dive into it. But the like, know, and trust concept means that if I feel like I like you, I'm then more likely to feel like I know you, because in order to like someone, you kind of have to feel like you know them. And in order to trust someone, I have to like and know them, right? In theory. Now, how do we close that loop when it comes to social media or when it comes to Instagram? Most people assume that just posting a bunch of business content is going to be great. It's going to build their credibility. People are going to think you're super smart. Or if I just post personal content, people are going to feel connected to me. They're going to like me. Well, the reality is that we have to marry those two things to close the loop. But most importantly, right, we have to be willing to show up personally so that we can prospect personally. And what I mean by that, right, is if we're showing up and sharing personal content on our feed, but we only talk about business in our DMs, that's a big problem. There's a disconnect there, right? Now, if we only show up on our feed on Instagram or any social, right, in business mode,
and in our DMs, we're trying to have these personal conversations and trying to get to know people, we also have no legs to stand on, right? Where it's not going to work, right? So if you're posting about faith and fitness and your family and the fact that you are obsessed with plants or Disneyland or golfing or beer, or I have a client who is a bourbon guy, like bourbon and cigars. So he goes to all these different bourbon lounges or cigar lounges, and he like records really cool real content, all these different places. And I remember when we first started working together, he was like, well, nobody cares that I like bourbon. And I'm like, whoa, like what? Those are your people. Because if you start producing content with that passion in mind, and now you're having conversations in your DMs, talking to people about this particular gentleman happened to be a loan officer, right? So if you're a loan officer trying to attract real estate agents, why are you just trying to attract them the normal way or the quote unquote traditional way? Why don't you be who you are and attract them the authentic way? And so again, it becomes the like and the no factor, aka the personal content, becomes the foundation for how we do what you were just describing of, instead of posting the reel, spending 30 minutes engaging, right? Well, what do you engage about? The personal content.
Yeah, it's so well said. We have a client, Garrett Maroon, and maybe I shared this with you when we were getting to know each other, but on the similar topic, his lead agent on his team, he got most of his deals because he started a fishing group because he loves fishing. And it was like a Facebook group for fishing, and they would go out and they would fish together. And he got the majority of his deals from the people in that group. And they used him not because he was the best real estate agent. They used him because they like fishing. He likes fishing. They got together and built rapport over fishing. And then they used him for real estate because obviously they trusted him through the aspect of getting to know him through fishing. And it's like, that is a very practical way of someone going, my hobby is fishing. I start a Facebook group. I go fishing with these people. And whether it turns into business or not, I'm loving life because I'm doing what I love. But it happened to turn into a ton of business. And there are so many stories like that of people who just, they end up winning in this business because they naturally are just doubling down on a hobby that they love. Mm-hmm. And it just turns into business for them.
What would you say to someone who calls you right now after listening to this and is like, well, Luke, I thought nobody would care.
Nobody would care. Well, I mean, I would tell you that you don't know unless you try. And so everything in life is about, you know, what I tell people, it's action, tracking, and pivoting. And so it's like act, track, pivot. So the key to growing any business is don't overthink it. Literally take action, try it, track the results. You can't track what you don't measure. And then if it's working, keep it. If it's not, you pivot, act, track, and pivot. And it's not pivoting where you get out of it totally. It's just, you literally, you know, take a little bit and tweak it. But it's, if you think they're not going to care, that's just your internal fear, a paralysis by analysis. That's your internal fear telling you that because you're worried about being rejected, maybe subconsciously, or, you know, like people don't do client events a lot of times because they don't think anybody will show up. And it's just like, you have to just do it and see what happens. What served me well in building Reminder Media and what we've done here is that I just was dumb enough to do the things. I wasn't smart enough to know what the outcomes would be if it failed or whatever. And it's just like, now I go, wow, it's so much harder to start something new the older I get and the more I've done, because it's like, I know all the horrible things that could happen, but you just got to do it. And we've done a bunch, I think it's like 557 episodes of our podcast, Stay Paid. And Josh and I, and my CMO, we've talked so many times about it. It's just amazing interviewing so many successful people. And realizing that, wow, the one commonality they all have, different skill sets, different personalities, but all of them just did it. They just did it. They didn't overthink it. They did it in spite of their fear of doing it. And that really is the key. And so often it sounds bad. I don't mean it bad. You look at them and you go, you're really not that smart. Like even your thinking of how you did it wasn't even that smart. But because you did it, you found out, oh, that didn't work, and you tried something else and you just kept going, where most people, they just overthink it and they never do it.
Well, I got to use a very real time example on right now because of what you just said. And my husband is a tactical strength and conditioning coach. And we actually just got back from Fort Benning, Georgia, where the BRC competition takes place, which if you're not familiar with the military, what that essentially is called the best ranger competition, but it's the Olympics of the military, truly. So it is equivalent to the CrossFit Games of the CrossFit world or the Olympics of our traditional, you know, sports. And the thing that was so interesting to me is that the two gentlemen that my husband were training or has been training, he trained them all through last year's train up. And then for the last year and a half leading into this year's event, last year, they were 29th going into the overnight ruck, which is basically over the course of the first 24 hours, they're on their feet for about 60 miles. It's insanity. Truly. It's a 3-day competition. They don't sleep at all. The only things they eat are actual military grade MREs and bananas and oranges. Pretty much.
That's truly David Goggins style,
like,
right?
But David Goggins doesn't have anything on these guys is all I got to say. And I'm a David Goggins, like, kind of fan, but I'm more of a like actionable implementable type. But my point in saying this is last year, my husband's two soldiers who he's been training now for going on 2 years, they ended up 29th after day one going into the overnight ruck. And as I mentioned, the overnight ruck is anywhere from 18 to 25 miles. It's an unknown distance and they don't know the distance until they start. Right. And so even some of them, depending on how fast they get to starting the ruck, they don't even know that. Right. But my husband's team, 29th going into the overnight ruck this year, they were 13th going into the overnight ruck. So we're like, whoa, we are on a totally different level of the guy's fitness here going into this year, right? And the competition doesn't change a whole lot as far as what the different events are. It's pretty standard across the board year over year. Some of the little things will change here and there. Scoring might change here and there on certain things. Implements might be sandbags versus kettlebells, but they're minor, right? But 13th going into the overnight ruck. Now, at the end of day two, they were in the exact same position. Or going into day two, I should say, they were in the exact same position that they were in year one. Year one, year two ended up being an exact duplicate of each other as far as the end result. Now, here's why, right? And much to my husband's demise, right, of frustration, is physically, these guys were beyond capacity for where they were the year before. Like, totally different level of fitness that they had going into the competition. During the day, right, the first 5, 6, 7 events, all the shooting ranges, they did way better than they had the year before. And the thing that was very interesting when my husband and I dissected this entire experience after coming home from it was when everybody was watching, they were on, right? They crushed it. And then as soon as you put them in that dark place of an overnight ruck, there's no fans, there's no spectators, there's nobody on the field with them. Your coach isn't there supporting you. It was them versus them. They went into the exact same place that they had the year prior. So the first year they ended up in the bottom 5 of the ruck and almost got eliminated, literally had the bus behind them, like creeping up on them. And if the bus caught up to you, basically that was your time check and you got taken off the course. This year, same exact thing happened. The only difference is they finished dead last of all of the teams that were left for the ruck. Going into the ruck, on paper, physically, they should have been in the top 5 without question, based off their paces and training, all of that. When we finally got to meet up with them the following morning, my husband laughingly said, he's like, one of them better be freaking injured. I don't want that to be the case, but like one of them better be injured to have an explanation for why this is happening, right? And both of them were like, no, I mean, our feet hurt, but honestly, it was just shitty. It was hard. And jeez. In that moment, I took a second as a coach, and I'm sure you are figuring out where I'm going with this, of we have an opportunity to show up when someone's watching and we think someone might care. And when we think nobody can see us and nobody is even noticing, we still have to show up in that every time, right? And failing forward is a huge part of what I feel like I got from you in the scenario of what we were talking about before, which is, we may not know what we're doing, but of the 500 plus episodes that you've done, the commonality between all of them is that even if they didn't know what they were doing, they did it anyway. And
bingo,
they failed forward, right? And tying the stories in, I think the biggest thing for me, watching Instagram be this kind of Achilles heel for so many people, is they're afraid of what other people are going to think. They're afraid of if they show up in a reel doing something that someone's going to think they look dumb. If you're on the female side, you're like, I don't like the way my hair looks. I haven't gotten my makeup done, or, you know, my eyelashes need redone, or I don't like the way I sound. Right. you and everybody else. I've been doing videos for 10 years and I still don't like the way that I sound on video.
Amen to that. Yep. It never gets easier.
No, but you know, I think you said it best, and I literally took the quote down and put it in the Zoom chat so I can copy and paste it for later in our show notes. But like, failing forward is what Instagram is all about, right? Because for you, for example, question of, does your Instagram content today look like what it looked like even a year ago?
Yeah, it's not. No, we're constantly evolving. I mean, I go back, if you just want to see a funny video, go type in Above the Noise, Luke Acree on YouTube, and you'll see the first YouTube videos I really did as a series. I was young, you know, and trying to put out content, you know, 6-7 years ago. And it's embarrassing, but I like watching it every once in a while because, you know what, we always compare ourselves to others, but we rarely ever compare ourselves to past self. And you really should do that because you'll be surprised how far you've come. And, you know, you can't compare yourself to where other people are at in their journey because your journey's different. And you are constantly like atomic habits. If you're constantly trying to get better 1% every single day, that's what real top producers tend to hone in on to, because they realize the game of comparison is the thief of all joy. And you've got to only compete against yourself. And the beautiful thing about business is it's just another fitness test. It's a different fitness test, but once you make it like that, it's just fun. It's like, hey, how fit or how healthy or, you know, whatever I can be. And I'm going to be the best version of myself that I could possibly be. And that's really where you get really locked in, because then you start, like, if you're a fan of Simon Sinek, you start realizing it's an infinite game. It's not a finite game that you're playing, meaning ultimately life does end, right? But it's an infinite game in the sense of, yes, you might be chasing, you know, your first $1 million business or 10 million or whatever your number is, but you're really playing an infinite game. And once you realize that you're playing an infinite game, that the purpose of the game is to stay in the game, you know, and just to keep improving, that really helps you, because, you know, you just start trying to do what's best for where you're at, not trying to compare yourself and trying to hit some abstract number that doesn't really mean anything.
Well, yeah. And I mean, can you speak into that piece too? Because I think that's a big misconception, is the meaningless kind of number out in the stratosphere that people think they're chasing, right? How many followers do I need? And I was just on a coaching call before you jumped on with me. You actually heard me at the very tail end of a coaching session before we started recording. And the gentleman who I was on with, one of the things he said, he's like, I really believe that in order for Instagram to work, I had to have thousands and thousands of followers, because in order to get D2C, which is what I call it, but direct to consumer, right? He thought that that was the case. He's like, I have to have thousands and thousands of eyeballs in order to get to the one or two that I'm going to be able to get. And I was like, on what planet? Like, why do you think that way? You know? And it was amazing to see a transformative shift in his mindset from the beginning of the hour to the end of the hour.
It's because most people define success by what other people's opinion of them is. So most people's definition of success subconsciously, and this is not me preaching at people, I still suffer from the same thing. You create things because you want other people to enjoy them. You create things and your natural feedback loop is what other people say about them. So it's very natural to go, I need thousands of followers. I need thousands of likes, because that's a feedback loop to me that the marketplace doesn't like what I'm doing. And there is some degree of truth to that. But the reality is I always see it as this. Once you actually get good at defining what success actually looks like for you personally, that actually will free you up to do authentic content, because you'll always find the people who know what they're living for and the success, what it means to them. They put out the best content because they don't care what anybody else thinks about their content, because they're literally, their version and what they're going for is just them. So a good example of this, you know, regardless of what you think about him, it's, you know, Grant Cardone. The reason why he takes off in social is because the guy just speaks what he thinks. He just does, regardless of what you think of his content or whatever, people are attracted to it because they go, I might disagree with it. It might be hyperbolic in some situations. I might agree with some of it, but I like it because I know this is who this guy is. And he's just speaking his mind, because his success is not determined based upon what you think of his content. He just wants to be Grant, as he says. And so I always tell people, man, sit down, define what your success looks like. And, you know, that's a personal decision between you and yourself. It's like, what does success looks like? And that will empower you and give you freedom to be able to put out what you want to put out. And I, you know, not to get religious or anything like that, because it's not a religious show, but it's like, man, once I figured out who I was in Christ, that gave me so much freedom in my business. It gave me so much freedom in my marriage. It gave me so much freedom in my being a dad, because instead of trying to be like, okay, how do I, you know, get the accolades and have the number one business? How do I, it's like, oh, I don't need any of that stuff because my identity comes from something outside of that. Mm-hmm. And now it frees me to do whatever I want in these other things. And so at a smaller level, I would apply that to social and go, my gosh, you know, why are you doing social? And for you, do it for the reasons you want to do it for and be consistent at it. You know, most people, they might know what success is, but then they're lazy. They don't put in the consistency of the work. You still got to put in the work, right? So you can have the freedom and identity, but if you don't apply and put in the work, you're still going to fail. So it's like, get the freedom by knowing what your success means and then put in the work.
Well, I think it's an interesting, I've actually never even thought about the way you just like articulated that, even for my own self. I feel like it's, I've thought about it in other ways, but not in that specific avenue of like, why do I do Instagram and what am I doing on Instagram as a success metric? Like, what does the success look like for me in that trajectory, if you will, or like, if you look at it over the last 10 years of me doing it. But what I can tell you from listening to you and articulating this, and I think this will be helpful for people listening, of just like how my brain is working through what you just said, which is 10 years ago, you know, I was 24, building an Instagram marketing company. I had just quit working for a PR firm because frankly, they were really just not good to their clients. Everything was, you know, copy paste. No client had any say in anything that was going out for them, regardless of what they were paying. There was no such thing as like client meetings or, hey, how do you feel about this? Like none of that was happening. And so my moral compass, I mean, I just couldn't do it. Right. And I walked into the office of the boss at the time and I was like, I'm out, man. Like, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to do it better. And so when I initially started Instagram, my mentality was more of a, I'm going to show that I care about people, because I think that that's what people were craving at the time, especially in the social space being so new in 2014, especially Instagram being so new. Cause even when I was working for the PR firm, Instagram wasn't a thing. It was like Facebook and Twitter. Like that's what we did. But when you transcend that into, okay, why was I doing it 10 years ago to what am I doing it today for? My answer would be that I feel like I have a voice. I feel like I have something to say that is, it's like being a caged tiger. It's like, you just have this big thought and you're like, if I don't share it, then it's just going to live in me forever. And I feel like that's a disservice to the population, because I know that if I can get through to somebody, that it will change not just their day-to-day life, but truly like their business as a whole, like what their entire life can look like financially.
I love that, you know, because it shows that you're passionate about what you're trying to do, and passion is what fuels action. And I would encourage people listening to this. This has been my experience. So I'm just one person, right? But as I've built my company and, you know, experienced a lot of different, you know, relationships with entrepreneurs, it's okay that your why constantly changes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've heard people even state that, you know, the pursuit of getting your purpose is a purpose in and of itself. And so meaning, like, if you find you started out because you had this passion to make money, that's okay. And then it changed and evolved to, wow, I really enjoy what I'm doing and I want to do this. That's okay. Like, I think too often everybody's trying to look for the magic why and not open to the fact that no, you can change over the years. It's like it can turn into something different, and it can fuel you for a couple of years, and then you can get something else. That's okay. I think if you try to, you know, just narrow it down to one thing, then it actually limits you, is what I have found. That's just my personal experience.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, think even just Reminder Media, right? Like the way you described it in the very beginning of the show, like you said, we started off as this, you know, a print magazine to be able to white label this and do it in a unique way. And because of what our consumers needed, we transitioned to digital. We then transitioned into XYZ, keep going, right? Like the reason you got into it in theory remains the same, to serve people, right? And to be able to give back to a community that desperately needed it. But more importantly, like as your company grew to what it is today, I would imagine that that initial thought that Luke may have had many years ago looks a lot different today.
And it's going to keep evolving. You know, I wasn't a father back then. I'm a father now. You know, we didn't have nearly as many team members. We have so many team members now. The industries are changing, you know, that we serve. But the one thing that doesn't change for me is I'm in pursuit of empowering people to live a life of freedom. Like that's my personal, you know, mission and vision for my life is I want to empower people to live a life of freedom. I think true freedom comes from knowing your creator, but then you take the business side, freedom in business comes from, you gotta be able to market and sell. If you don't have sales, you have a hobby, you have a charity. And you know, look, hobbies and charities are fun and they're great, but they don't provide for you. And so you need a way to provide for you. So you got to learn to market and learn to sell. And that's how that's the vision statement of my company. I want to empower entrepreneurs to live a life of freedom by my mission, which is tactically helping them close more deals and retain the business that they have. And my life's work has been about how do I create the best sales and marketing strategies for small businesses to be able to capitalize to live a life of freedom that they want to have.
I think it's brilliant. And I don't think that there's anybody who could listen to that and not agree, right? I just, that's the whole point, I feel like, of being put on this planet. And I think we are born with an innate ability to communicate, and it's how well we are, or how well we train the muscle to be able to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, looking at some of the initial videos that we've created, I'm like, ugh, that wasn't very good, but I got my point across, right? And maybe the quality wasn't that good. Maybe the audio wasn't that good, but guess what? I showed up and I had a thought and I shared the thought. And as I continue to do that, that is the point, right? Of being able to share it. But I believe that, in my opinion, God put us on this planet to have a voice to share our craft of what he built us to be. And I feel like it's our chance, right? And I love Instagram for that reason. And that's going to be my last question to you before we wrap up our show is, you know, why Instagram for you? Why is the platform that you're like, this is where I want to spend my time?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, comes to that you're able to reach one to many and you're able to facilitate something that, you know, other mediums can't quite facilitate. So email marketing is a great medium. Print is a great medium. I do both of those for clients. But unfortunately, with email and print, it doesn't facilitate the know, like, and trust factor like an Instagram or social media can, because social media can allow me to do video. Social media can allow me to share personal things about my life. Social media can allow me to instantly engage. And so I like social media because ultimately I believe the currency of business is relationships. And so when I think about Instagram specifically, I just go, wow, this is a way for me to reach one to many of my relationships instead of one to one. So I get efficiency at scale. And then at the same time, I'm able to showcase to people me. I'm able to showcase personal things about me, my personality and who I am in dynamic ways. And so I think I'm a huge fan of omni-channel marketing, but if you're not on Instagram, if you're not on Facebook, what are you doing? You're missing out. You got to get over your fear. You got to take action. You got to reach out to Michelle. That's what you got to do.
Well, I think that they're going to have to reach out to the two of us here pretty soon with some thoughts that we might be able to create together. And I love that concept and just even thinking about it. But Luke, I want to know what's coming up for you. And if anyone listening to this is like, how do we get a hold of you, Luke? And what do you have coming up that we can dial into? What do you got?
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I would love to connect with all of you, of course, on Instagram. My handle is at Luke Acree, and that's A-C-R-E-E. So Acre with an extra E, basically. So find me on Instagram. Would love to connect with you there. I am constantly doing what I call like training webinars on a bunch of different areas. Like I told you, marketing is my passion. So like, you know, this Thursday, depending on when this comes out, but this Thursday for me, I'm doing a training on geographic farming. I am a BAM contributor now. If you're part of the BAM community, I'm putting out articles and doing trainings and stuff with them on BAM. So I would love you guys to check that out. But look up Reminder Media, find me on Instagram. Let's connect. If I can help you in any way, I would love to do that.
I love it. Well, thank you for coming on the show. And again, for all of you guys who don't know Luke, honestly, if I had it my way, we'd record for another hour, but he has other things to do and I have other things to do, but We'll have to do another one for sure. But again, if you're not familiar with Luke, go find him on Instagram. And of course, as always, if there is someone that you think I need to interview for the show, please let us know. Second to that, reviews are everything, right? So if you love Luke and you want more people like Luke, you got to tell me that you loved it. So please leave a review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you guys are watching. But until then, we will see you guys in the next episode of the Coffee and Questions podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please go follow my guests on social media. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving us a review wherever you consume this content.